Hello and thank you for accessing these worship resources for October 25th, which is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. Let us pray. O God of constant love, you have guided your people in all times and ages. May we, who offer you our praise today, always be ready to follow where you lead. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Gospel passage appointed for today is from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 22, beginning to read at verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. One of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. "Teacher," he said, "which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. A second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord? As it says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my lips, the thoughts and the meditations of all our hearts, be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Any parent or grandparent has probably had a conversation with a young child that ends with the parent or grandparent saying, "Just because." After a series of why questions, it becomes clear that there will be no end to the questions, and so the adult usually stops the conversation with, "Just because." The question why is often on our minds, which is the reason the following statement was made during a workshop I attended. The speaker said, "You should always start with why." So said our congregational development officer as he began the training session for the Shaped by a Living Hope teams. We learned what he meant by that as he explained that whenever we are assessing something, we should always start with an understanding of why that something exists. If, for example, you are assessing your choice of which hammer to purchase, it is important to know the purpose for which it will be used. If you are assessing which recipe to use, it's important to know the purpose it is meant to fulfill. And if you're trying to find out if a ministry is effective, then it's important to know what that ministry is trying to accomplish. The question why becomes a sorting question, and it is applied in many aspects of our lives these days without our realizing it. As our lives have changed due to the pandemic restrictions, we are faced with the question, why do we do these things, alongside the question, what is most important? We adjust to changing circumstances through our sorting out what is important and the why of why we are doing these things. To a group of men in Lively, the closure of the local Tim Hortons restaurant caused them a considerable problem because one of the important things in their lives was their morning meeting. It wasn't long before lawn chairs appeared on the property surrounding the restaurant as the men adjusted their behavior in order to maintain this important aspect of their lives. The reason they met each day was to maintain their connections with their friends, So while they adhered to the restrictions, they maintained their connections with others. This is something we have all been doing, whether we realize it or not. There are some things in our lives which we have allowed to drop away, but there are other things for which we have adjusted our behavior in order to comply with the restrictions, but maintain those most important things. As we have done this, we have, unconsciously perhaps, asked ourselves the question, why are we doing these things? And is this the most important thing? As Jesus confronted the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Pharisees asked him which commandment in the law is the greatest, to which he replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This answer is bound up to the question, why are human beings on earth, and what is the most important thing for those humans to do? These two questions are buried in the challenge raised by the Pharisees, and they are questions we face every day, even though we probably don't realize it. In today's scripture passage from the Old Testament, the nation of Israel stands poised on the eastern side of the Jordan River, ready to enter the Promised Land. Their leader Moses has been called home by God, so Joshua, their new leader, would now be God's voice for them as they take possession of the land that God had promised their ancestor Abraham. I wonder if, during their grieving over the death of Moses, they wondered why God was leading them in this way. After all, the journey which had taken 40 years was now on the brink of completion, and they may have wondered, was the purpose of God simply to get them to this land flowing with milk and honey, or was there something else going on? This 40-year-long journey was actually only a small part of the much longer journey that began even before Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans. The journey began when God breathed life into the human race and gave them the task of being the image of God for the rest of creation. The why of human life is tied up in that mystery, and so too is the why of the journey of the people of God. We are told in the first chapter of Genesis that God created humans in the image of God, which can mean a number of things. Among those meanings is the idea that when creation looks upon humanity, it can potentially see the image of God. The why of our existence, therefore, is to show forth the image of God to the rest of the creation. And the story of the fall is a story of a failure to live out that pattern in the way God wished humanity to live. This failure has continued to impact the human race since its earliest days, and God put together a plan to restore the original design. Abraham responded to God's call to follow, and his belief was credited to him as righteousness, and his descendants were promised a land in which to live and a purpose to which that life was to be dedicated. The why of the journey with Moses was, in part, to prepare these people for the purpose of being the image of God for the other societies around which they would live. Standing there on the eastern side of the Jordan River placed that nation of Israel on the threshold of a major step toward fulfilling their purpose. Among the most important things for them to do was obedience to the commands of God. And so the question asked by the Pharisees was a question that resonated with the people of God from the time of Moses, at least. Jesus' answer was a well-known summary of the law quoted from the pages of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. This short statement became known as the Shema, and it was used as a daily statement by devout Jews. They would say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and you are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. What this tells me is that to live out being the image of God, the most important thing to consider is loving God and loving our neighbor. This was to be the way in which the nation of Israel would fulfill the why of God bringing them to the promised land. It's also clear to me that Jesus wanted all people to understand that the two great commandments were the most important pillars in the structure of a real human life. Jesus came to restore the image of God in humanity and make it possible for all humans, with God's help, to live that fulfilling kind of life in this age and in the age to come. So, what does that mean for you and for me as we live within these pandemic restrictions? Let me suggest a few things in the next few minutes. Pastor Rick Warren became well known in Christian circles for his books called The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church. In those books, Pastor Warren outlines ways to find your purpose, and it all begins with the reality that we have all been created in the image of God, and our purpose within the body of Christ is to live out that image according to the gifts we've been given. When the circumstances of our life are changed, as they have been, I have found it helpful to remind myself and be reminded of my purpose to live as the image of God for those around me by loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving my neighbor as myself. While this adjustment is never easy, I find that keeping our eyes fixed on the purpose helps us avoid becoming lost in turmoil. Not too long ago, for instance, I was speaking with a teacher as she prepared to re-enter the classroom. There were, as you probably could understand, some fears, some frustrations, but the tremendous challenge of teaching in a COVID-19 environment as well. I was impressed with the way she focused her attention on the most important part, which was helping her students grow in knowledge and using her creativity and resources to find ways to address those needs. A similar kind of conversation was held with a colleague of mine as he worked through the challenges of reopening to public worship. Keeping in mind what was most important, providing a meaningful opportunity for his faith community to gather in worship, allowed him to adjust the liturgy and keep the main thing the main thing. Loving God and loving our neighbor always needs to be at the core of what we do, because in following this commandment, we are better able to fulfill our purpose. Without these two ingredients, the life God wants us to have would be impossible. What that will mean for your individual life will be different than what it will mean for the person across the room, but the need for it to help you become a more fitting image of God will be the same. As we gather in these times of common worship, we are asked to consider how our individual purpose can benefit our corporate purpose. Loving God means, among other things, living according to his wishes by being kind, humble, loving, and obedient to God's commands. Loving our neighbor means, among other things, being kind, humble, loving, and obedient to God's commands. In Jesus, we see a man who managed to do these two things to perfection. As we continue to watch how Jesus lived through the stories that have been preserved, we can assess how we are doing and bring our failures to God and have them cleansed. Jesus demonstrated what a truly human life looked like, and his sacrificial death and resurrection provides the way in which every human being may find that same kind of life. My prayer is that in our gathered communities, we will continue to foster that life. Amen.